So I was Googling Mickey Mouse interviews, looking for text-based interviews where Mickey Mouse was pretending to be a celebrity in Hollywood, being interviewed by celebrity reporters, which was a thing that would happen whenever Mickey needed to promote something, because in the 70s it was funny. And so Mickey would...
Funny and easy.
They'd do an interview with someone at the newspaper. Mickey, what's it like being a movie star? And Mickey'd be like, I just gotta keep my ears on straight, or some shit. And it's just whatever. Who cares?
Yeah.
But there was a video. I was like, great. Yeah, Mickey Mouse interview video. That's cool. Expecting this to be a farce, because Mickey, when he's in costume, can't interview him.
No.
He's just a guy in a costume. And so, like, it's a fake news reporter reading a script.
Yeah.
And Mickey's voice getting piped in. But it's not. It's real. It's Mickey on a local news station.
Wait. Like when they bring an author and he's promoting their new book. And with it, the two people, and with us today, we have author Jonathan.
Yes. He was sitting on a couch, and it's the worst news set you've ever seen. And it's like, we currently have traffic on the four-way, and we're going to go over to a special interview. A half-casual, not breaking evening eyewitness news, but not a daytime talk show. It's the news. We have an interview. We have an interview with a local Girl Scout who's going to tell us all about this season's cookies.
Yeah.
But today it was, we have an interview with Mickey Mouse from Disney. And it's not Good Morning America. It's not CBS News.
This is like playful.
This is like Boston WGBH. This is a affiliate station. These are journalists. They're on the beat in Cleveland.
They mean business.
And so I'm like, well, why is Mickey Mouse in Cleveland? Why did they send a man in a Mickey Mouse costume to Cleveland to do an interview? And maybe it's still fake. He went around for some movie or something and did promotions as Mickey Mouse.
This is Mickey in the in-park costume.
He's in the, it's Mickey. It's not like a cartoon. It's Mickey Mouse in the Disneyland, Disney World costume. And he's sitting there. That's what I'm expecting, that the interviewer has, here are the five questions you ask Mickey Mouse when he comes to the studio. Don't ask him to do anything. He needs a room by himself.
Yeah.
So the guy can put on the Mickey Mouse costume. He's in some broom closet at the studio, at this rinky-dink news studio.
Because it's still a rule that you have to come out as Mickey. You can't be seen as...
Right. You can't be half Mickey walking up. Because, you know, all these affiliate stations, they're not big enough to have the back lot. This is the second through fourth floor of a six-story office building. If Mickey goes to the wrong floor... Data management company.
There's a company that writes third-grade textbooks. They're also right there.
Mickey can't be Mickey going in and out of the station, because that means that guy has to be Mickey for a long time.
Well, he's Mickey driving up. He's Mickey getting in the parking lot. He's Mickey at reception trying to figure out which floor to go to.
Oh, boy, do you know where I am? I'm looking for...
Sir, take the head off.
Even Ice Capades, when those characters are doing something like that.
Yeah.
You know, they're backstage. It's the Ice Capades. They got their backstage area. But when Mickey goes on Cleveland's Action News.
Yeah. They might have a dressing room, but I mean, he can't fully do his thing in there.
But that means that there's two guys in their 30s that walk into that news station holding the Mickey costume.
Okay, this is important. Yes. First and foremost, there is two guys minimum coming from Disney's end.
There are two guys.
Yes, there's two guys.
I know there's two guys, but what I'm telling you is there are two guys.
Okay.
You said there's two guys. I agree. There has to always be two guys. Mm-hmm. But in this case, there are two guys.
Okay.
So let me just tell you what's going on first. They didn't have any piped in audio.
So they didn't have pre-recorded?
No. And they also didn't have predetermined questions. This is a live interview. I couldn't believe it, but there's a man sitting in a Mickey Mouse costume that has been instructed, if not threatened, do not speak. No matter what happens in this interview or anytime you're with anyone anywhere, no matter how bad things get, do not speak. You are silent. You are Mickey Mouse. Yeah. Do not even try to do a Mickey voice.
Gag order on this guy.
The interviewer does not seem to understand that means the only questions that she can ask need to be yes or no questions. Because you got Mickey and he's pantomiming in front of you. Mickey, are you excited for Mickey's Christmas Carol? Yeah, big nod.
Yep, thumbs up. All the regular stuff.
No. She was asking open-ended, opinion-based questions to Mickey Mouse. But Mickey had a backup. Because this was not to promote Mickey's Christmas Carol. This was to promote some anniversary, maybe his 50th birthday. I don't know what it was. It was something like that. and they had built the Mickey hot air balloon. You've seen that.
Yeah, the one with his face on it.
The one that is his face, mm-hmm. where the balloon is his face.
Yeah, shaped as that.
And so what they're doing, they're not driving across the country or flying across, I guess. I mean, spoilers.
Well, they're floating across the country.
The guy that's with Mickey is the balloon pilot. And he can speak because he's a person. He's yes. a human being. So the news reporter is interviewing Mickey Mouse, the character, and then the real-life balloon pilot that is driving around the okay. balloon shaped like Mickey's face across the country. Mm-hmm. And the reason they're interviewing them is because that's where they landed this week. It's where the wind took them.
This whole time, I'm like, why are they there?
Yeah, why are they here?
Like, what, I'm really racking my brain.
It's because they're flying around.
They didn't have a choice. Is accidentally in their parking lot.
So the balloon is shaped like Mickey's face. So Mickey and this guy, I'm going to try to do this without laughing.
You got
so
it. You got
Mickey and this guy, this balloon pilot, are floating across the country to promote something.
They're without destination, but they're not without purpose. They're promoting something.
I don't know what it is. I think it's the balloon.
Well, obviously, they didn't do a good enough job, and we don't know what they're promoting.
But I don't know if it's the 15th anniversary of Walt Disney World. I think it might be.
It's got to be something vague
like that. It's like the 15th anniversary of Walt Disney World, and we are going around the country in a balloon shaped like Mickey Mouse.
This will make a splash.
This is well-intentioned news reporter. Let me get the actual city this is from.
America's favorite characters lives in a world of fantasy and animation, but up till now, this guy, who is also one of the world's most famous movie stars, has spent most of his time on the screen or on the ground. Well, things have changed. Now Mickey Mouse has taken flight. Jill is with Mickey and the man who is sending him aloft. Jill?
Peter, Mickey Mouse has always been bigger than life to his fans, but now people will see his face flying across the skies in the form of a giant hot air balloon. Of course, it's all part of Walt Disney World's year-long 15th birthday celebration, and Mickey and his pilot, Captain Bob Carleton, are starting a tour of major cities across our country, and they are starting their tour here in South Florida. Is that right?
Okay, so they're in South Florida. The wind took them south. They were trying to go to the rest of the country, and bad gust. We're in Fort Lauderdale. So this interview begins, and she's like, where are you going next, Mickey? And Mickey's like, I can't talk. The dynamic here is this well-intentioned news reporter that doesn't understand her role. Softball Mickey yes or no questions. Ask the pilot the specific ones.
Yeah.
Because he can talk. She's well-intentioned, but she's doing a terrible job. Mickey Mouse, doing his best, can't talk. He's just got to do like motions and thumbs up and hope it translates. The pilot of the hot air balloon, they would never let this man on the news. Disney would never let this man get in front of a camera today.
Yeah, to represent them.
They would say, here's the guy we got to play you in the commercial about the balloon.
Tell him all the technical stuff he needs to know, yeah.
Today, it would be, well, I fly the balloon with Mickey Mouse. And you look him up, and he graduated from college and then did nothing else. Like, he came from the government.
Yeah.
That's the type of guy that should be doing this. They would never let this guy promote anything for Disney today. This type of character in the grand story of entertainment. The, I'm getting interviewed right now. I'm speaking for the Walt Disney Company. Because I'm part of this thing, and you're interviewing me.
Yeah.
Because whether it's Imagineers or directors or studio execs, there's the people that you talk to, and then there's the people that do the job.
Yeah.
Because public relations and media communications have become such a big part of everything. You want to talk to an Imagineer? We got four Imagineers that are just talking Imagineers. Yeah. They imagine what to say in interviews. That's their job.
It actually probably is a good like qualification for like, oh yeah, if you think of the old school Imagineers, well, this guy's really good. He can make some effects. This guy works on the vehicles. Well, this guy can really spin a web and really make sure all the news is excited about this.
Originally, it was Walt Disney's job. Walt, how are we going to explain this? I got it. And then he would go on the news. PR. He invented PR, Walt Disney. Then PR becomes a thing. Everybody's like media trained. Mm-hmm. But this guy on the news, the only person that can speak English in this moment on behalf of the Walt Disney Company, he is not there because he's good at speaking.
Yeah.
He is there because he knows how to fly hot air balloons.
That's his qualification. Yeah.
And so him and Mickey are floating across the country. Okay. And they're making one of their first stops. They're in South Florida. And this well-intentioned news reporter doing a terrible job is faced with this dynamic duo. quiet, nonverbal Mickey Mouse.
Yeah, the stoic Mickey Mouse versus...
And Bob Carlton... Professional hot air balloon pilot.
That's correct.
Yeah. Now, of course, Mickey, you agree, right? We want to explain to everybody, I do believe most people know that Mickey is a highly animated character, but not very talkative, right? You say very little, right? You say hello to everybody, though. Mickey, have you...
Okay, you should not start the interview with Mickey Mouse, who you know is not allowed to speak, by grilling him about not being able to speak and putting him in that position.
Mickey, why won't you talk to me? They would never address that today.
No. It defeats the entire purpose.
Mickey, you don't like to talk a lot, right? And like, whenever I say right, your response as a performer isn't yes. Your response is right, but how do I articulate right?
Uh-huh.
Isn't that right? Yes. You know, you don't nod to that. I mean, it's so bizarre.
Yeah, he's just stuck there. Because he just started like waving his hands.
Yeah. He freaked out. Because this is a terrible
situation.
What is so exciting about taking this tour across all the cities in the country with Mickey and the idea of a hot air balloon? How'd that happen?
I think because of its unique shape. It's a special shape.
Okay. I'm immediately understanding, because that's the question you asked to the guy who came up with the idea, not the man who's just executing it, right? Because he knows how to pull the hot air levers.
Well, there are 5 hot air balloon pilots. Same as there are 5 Galileo-type astronomers left that have a big old gold telescope. Yeah, there's 2 of those guys, and there's 4 hot air balloon pilots. And so the question that, again, the well-intentioned interviewer that's doing a terrible job. So you're flying across the country with Mickey Mouse in a giant hot air balloon. How did you come up with this idea? He didn't come up with the idea.
I didn't.
He was clearly hired. He wasn't in Imagineering being like, guys, remember, I can fly hot air balloons. I got this. Let me do it. Yeah. He was brought in just for this.
I've never interacted with Disney prior to this. I don't even really
understand. That reporter didn't think about this for a second. Like, oh, well, you were probably hired because they don't. There's no way you're a full-time hot air balloonist and this is your pet project in the Walt Disney Company. And where'd you get this idea to put Mickey in a balloon and fly him across the country? What's so interesting about that? Well, I think it's because the balloon looks like his face.
And then she breaks character. She's like, oh yeah, I guess I didn't think of that.
I didn't think of that either.
Well, this is also interesting because it's also a guy who's not media trained. So he's going to give you a straight answer. He's not going to give you the answer you're ready for your BS question.
He doesn't seem excited to be on the news. You know how some people, you see him on the news, you're like, the only reason you're doing this is so you can get on the news.
Yes, yeah.
Like somebody doing some dumb job in the city. And you're like, you wanted to be on the news, you weirdo. Yeah. But this guy,
he got into it because he loved hot air balloons. This is the part of his job in this instance where it's a slog. Oh, we gotta do the thing on the news. Okay, whatever, we'll sit through it.
I mean, at 2 o'clock, they do the thing on the news, and then at 4 o'clock, they go to the children's hospital. That's really what they're doing. I think he mentions it.
We just happen to have some pictures of Air Force One, as it's called. This is Air Force One when it was being tested in England.
The balloon is 100 feet tall, and it actually displaces 90,000 cubic feet. It was built in England and brought over here for its maiden flight in October 2nd for the celebration of the 15th anniversary of Walt Disney World. And now we're getting ready to go all across the country on this tour. To bring a bit of the birthday party to everyone.
Okay. He remembers before he took off, when he was pulling the big fire strap, yeah. And right before the balloon was taken off, before they cut the rope when he left, they said to him, now remember, this is for Walt Disney World's 15th anniversary. If they ask you questions on the news, make sure to mention Walt Disney World is having a 15th anniversary. And then he was floating away. What? And so he gets on the news and he half remembers that.
Yeah.
And she's like, so why are you doing this? And he's like, I don't know. And he's like, oh, wait, no. It's... Well, you know, I think they wanted to have a Walt Disney World's 15th anniversary. The Walt Disney World is turning 15, so we made this balloon. It was in England. It's 100 feet tall. And he starts talking
he's
about
it. He's got all that. He's ready to go.
Yeah. You want to hear more about the balloon? No, we want to know what this is for. Oh, shoot.
Now, that shaped balloon looks different than what most of us are used to seeing. Is that you've got thousands of hours of experience in piloting hot air balloons. Is it different?
Now, I couldn't help but notice this balloon has a familiar shape. Now tell me, is that any different than flying any other balloon? That's the new age PR-y news reporter. Uh-huh. This is just, it looks different than other balloons.
So yeah. What's up with that? Tell me more about that.
Why? Yeah, I'm noticing now that it looks different than other balloons. It's shaped like Mickey Mouse. I don't think they told the news reporter, like, this is a fun interview. Like,
this yeah, the tone of this interview is a little bit off.
Hey, this is a fake one. Just chill out and have fun. I just realized that this is also fake. That they're definitely driving the balloon from city to city.
You think so?
I mean, there's no...
What year is this? How cynical do we need to be?
87.
Oh, God. Because this also strikes
like
me as...
right in between.
This also strikes me as a very, like, who had the nerve to come up with this idea? Well, remember they took the... they had the Epcot hot air balloon. They took that around the country.
Right.
Assuming that... Oh, yeah. I know what you mean.
When you say you take the hot air balloon around the country, does that mean you drive your semi-truck with the hot air balloon?
Yeah.
Into the country, open it up, go down, put it back in the truck, drive to Seattle.
Yeah, is this like a bouncy castle moving it around situation?
I like to think that it's Mickey Mouse and this guy, Bob Carlton, just going city to city.
And do you really need a crew for a hot air balloon?
Yes.
Do you?
To get that bag open, it took like 5 people. Oh.
Not really. The best part about it is that it really draws attention like you wouldn't believe.
I can imagine, Mickey, that people get pretty excited when they see you drifting across the skies, don't they? What do they say usually, Bob? And what's been Mickey's comments on all this? What have been Mickey's comments?
I need you to talk for Mickey, Bob. Bob's like, what?
Because I can see what it's supposed to be. It's supposed, yeah, it's not like, let me throw it over to Mickey. There shouldn't be a pause at any point. And Mickey, I'm sure you've been out there. There's a lot of people waving at you as you go by. Yeah, it's crazy. Bob, by the way, you know, there's never like, what's up, Mickey? Yeah, they love it, right?
Bob, what does Mickey think of all this?
It's neat to see Mickey go airborne and to be a part of the celebration.
One thing that you're doing when you're on this tour is you're visiting children in hospitals. In fact, this afternoon, you're going over to Miami Children's Hospital, right? You're going to really cheer up some kids over there, aren't you, Mickey? Yeah. What other plans does Mickey have while he's here today?
3:30, we'll be down at City Hall, and we'll take a flight from City Hall in Coconut Grove to wherever the wind takes us, and we'll have Mickey down there, and I think everybody should come out.
And he means that literally.
Yes, airborne.
So it's really a chance for everybody to see a little bit of Disney World in their own city, right? Thank you, Bob Carlton.
Thank you.
And Mickey Mouse.
Bob, just make sure you don't take off in a west wind. Good enough in the Bahamas. That's not necessarily bad, though. Up next, Phil.
Well, Mickey, thanks for coming on the show today. And then that guy gets up as Mickey Mouse.
Still in character.
At what point do you change into the Mickey Mouse costume? I still don't know. At what point between you waking up that morning, I'm assuming not in the Mickey costume.
Yeah, that's too far.
That's too much. Waking up that morning and going on the news, do you change into it?
Well, there's two. I have two kind of like options for how they're doing this. Option one is Mickey Mouse, he gets out of the car like this, and it's that type of scenario where we're not even going to deal with it. He's being led. He's got a kind of entourage type situation. There's one where you don't have to deal with that question suddenly.
You're in that costume for a while, though.
I know. So that's why it doesn't seem so plausible. But the other one doesn't seem plausible for another reason, where anywhere from 2 to 10 people showing up, one of them's going to be Mickey, and you know that. But you're interacting with them, and someone's got a big bag. I mean, I don't see that really working.
I mean, that's a big bag.
Because for any other company, this is not a problem. It's just because Disney cannot have Mickey Mouse be seen as a guy in a costume to anybody, ever, really. Disney knows that these characters are the wellspring of the enchantment that has its stock and trade.
If I walk into the building as Mickey Mouse, because, I mean, I can't bring the head in a box. I have to walk in. Which means I have to be in the elevator as Mickey Mouse, which means I have to see all the secretaries as Mickey Mouse. I have to get my badge as Mickey Mouse.
I'm waiting in the lobby as Mickey Mouse.
Everybody's bothering me because everybody wants to meet me.
Yeah.
You say, okay, but whatever, I'll do it. Fine. Just get me to a dressing room where I can take the head off for a couple of minutes before I go on, and I'll be good. But that doesn't answer the question of when do I put on the costume? Uh-huh. All I've decided is I'm showing up as Mickey Mouse. When do I put on the costume? In the car in the parking lot?
That would be awkward.
Mid-drive over? In my hotel room? at the Best Western in 1987.
I know. It's really weird.
I don't know when you get into the costume. I'm walking out of the Best Western.
I'm walking past the Continental Breakfast as Michael Mouse, as I wave. Because he's like bopping along and waving and everything. You have to.
I'm waiting in traffic. I look over at the car next to me. It's Mickey Mouse. Did I ever tell you about that time that charity land I dressed up as Santa? Steven from Give Kids the World drove me to Walmart to get the mozzarella sticks. Yeah. Did I ever tell you that I was dressed as Santa in the parking lot of Walmart in Kissimmee? As Santa? Did I tell you this?
Yeah.
Did I tell you what happened?
What happened?
The two kids came to the car and asked for my photo.
How old were these kids? Because that'll really change the story.
They were like 16, 17.
Okay.
Maybe they're a little older than that.
Okay.
They came over to the car. I'm dressed as Santa in the passenger seat. It's like 11 p.m. It's, you know, we're doing charity land.
Yeah.
And they come over, they knock on the window. And I thought I was going to die.
Because I can't die as Santa. This is not how I go. The Walmart parking lot at 2 a.m. I knew it would be here. I didn't know it would be like this.
I honestly thought I was getting mugged. And then the guy points to a phone camera. And I don't even know what was going through my mind. Why I did this. I can't believe I did this. I got out of the car and I took a photo with him as Santa Claus.
Well, I know why you did that. Because you went full Santa. You had no choice.
Anyways, that was my Santa story. Bob Carlton and this woman and Mickey Mouse are doing the worst and most awkward interview I've ever seen in my life. Now, Mickey, I heard you like, you're going to the Children's Hospital. Is that right? Is that right, Bob? And he's like, yep.
Most of the time, if Mickey's going anywhere, he's being interviewed by the most qualified person to do it.
Yeah.
That's not happening here.
Okay, Bob, what do you think about the balloon? Bob's like, it's 100 feet tall. It's shaped like Mickey Mouse. It was built in London.
And I think that maybe they want to do this to promote something.
The 50th anniversary, he says the wrong. He heard it wrong. It's the 50th anniversary of Walt Disney World. It's 1987. No, 15th. 15th. You say 50th? He's shouting as he's flying to the next city. They keep trying to catch up with them.
Yeah, they're like, oh my God, we got a loose cannon.
They start getting the news every city he's in. So they try to follow the balloon to catch up with him. Say, Bobby.
Because they don't know where he's going to land either. It's not like,
Bobby, you got to be better on camera. There he is. And the balloon's slowly taking off. They
no.
They drift the car. They pop out. Bob. Bob.
Like, it's like Twister chasing the tornado scene. It's that intense.
Yeah. Get him. Get him. Bob, you need to listen to us. What? So, Bob, this balloon shaped like Mickey Mouse. Is that different? No. That's what he
said.
It's
really not that different. It's fine.
It's the same. Yeah, that's an insane thing to say as a balloon. there's no difference. It's shaped.
Are you sure it's got two extra balloons on it?
It's got two giant ears.
That is
different. It's shaped like Mickey Mouse. I notice a difference when I drive a Hyundai and a Chevy. Like, oh man, this is different. Yeah. that's a car. You're telling me there's no difference between a normal hot air balloon, is the kaleidoscope pattern on it, and you flying,
and one that has Mickey Mouse's nose protruding from the side.
Right.
Like, you mean to tell that's not catching the wind?
Perfectly weighted.
It's all good.
The wind interacts with it the exact same. It fills up evenly.
I mean, I guess it would have to be like, did you remember the other ones they did? They did Epcot. That one makes sense. Well, it doesn't make sense because it had the wand on it. You know, you had an easy wind with just the ball. The other one looked like the castle. I mean, it's some wild shapes.
I was like, hey, is it any different making this balloon fly? And he's like, no, it's the same as any other balloon. I catch it on fire, I pull the thing, and I pray to God that I don't fall.
We go up, and then it's kind of out of my hands at that point.
We go up, and then we go down, and I pray, that I'll be saved. And then if I do float up to heaven, I'll be welcomed into the arms of God. Yeah, no.
Every time, well, it's a little bit different because normally on a smaller balloon, I have a little bit more time to make peace with the fact that this might be the last time I ever do this again.
It'd be crazy, though, if you said, yeah, this balloon catches lightning like you wouldn't believe. Is there any differences? Yeah, there's a few differences. This one's
much bigger lightning rod than all the others.
Yeah, this one's 100 feet tall and shaped like Mickey Mouse. Of course there's some differences. On cold days, the nose deflates, and then the two ears act as propellers. The bottom of his chin keeps catching the flame. It's so hot. It's the hottest balloon. It's completely black. We're daring the sun every day. I feel like I'm laying on a blacktop in the summer. It smells like burning rubber.
Hot air balloon has to be the least pilot-like of those types of jobs.
Well, I actually know someone that knows a hot air balloon pilot.
Oh.
I don't know why I didn't mention this. But yeah, like they have like this weird tradition, which is kind of cool. Like when they land, they have wine and cheese. They have it in the baskets because back in the day, people thought that the hot air balloons were like giants and monsters. And so they'd have to land in their village and be like, no, we're friendly. Here's some wine and cheese.
I like that.
And it's like, that's the landing like ritual. And I don't know if that's more like, hey, we do it sometimes. It's a fun thing to do. This is where it came from. Or it's a, no, that's how you have to land the balloon.
Yeah.
Just because it's like tradition, you know, similar to how you got to break the bottle on the ship.
Yeah. Or else we're going to be having some trouble here. Yeah. I would imagine hot air balloons, again, they're very pro because it's so by chance, like the same way the sea is, that we don't want to take any chances. We're going to be a little superstitious.
Yeah. I mean, we're dealing with the sky in a way a plane's not. Plane is science. A hot air balloon, yeah. it's a lot of feelings.
Wind is going on.
It's a lot of instinct. Like, imagine if your pilot was going off instinct all the time.
I'm working it. I'm licking my finger, putting it in the air, see which way that's going.
You go in there, you put yellow sticky notes over all the gauges. They're distracting me. I don't need to know that stuff. I can feel it. Open the window. Crack the window. I need to feel the air. God, this thing's hot. Why did we paint it all black? Hello, Bob. What are you going to do at the children's hospital? Bob's like, I don't know, read a magazine like I always do. Kids don't want to see me. I'm not going into the hospital beds of these sick kids and be like, hey, kid, I'm Bob Carlton.
I have to wait in the balloon. Hey, Bob, keep the balloon running. We're going to be in and out of here in a second.
And then in 1988, to kick off New Year's, they introduced the Zippity-Doo Duck. It's Donald. I mean, I guess you can kind of see the regular boat if you look at it. Like, look for the regular hot air balloon in this shape.
I can see the shape. I can also see just all the extra stuff.
I know, but there's like a bunch of extra stuff.
A lot of extra stuff.
If we turn Mickey upside down, it would take about 113,000 basketballs to fill him up. Oh, no, that's weird. How am I supposed to imagine what 113,000 basketballs looks like? Why don't you do that in trucks? During the tour, the system was moved in a Ford F-250 and trailer from location to location. It was the first hot air balloon to ever rise over the Grand Canyon. Oh, what?
I was going to break some world records while we're at it.
Add some Epcot lore to Soarin'. It all comes full circle. Well, Bob's confused. Bob does, you know, Macy's Day Parade stuff. When it's time for the Macy's Day Parade, oh, we got a new Garfield short. Make a giant Garfield. Okay. So he helps fill that up.
Yep.
He's a balloon expert. So he's worked with Garfield and Snoopy, but he's never had to sit next to one on the news. And Mickey Mouse is just another one of these Garfields and Snoopies. Kermit, whatever. He's sitting next to Mickey Mouse today doing the balloon thing again. And they're like, hey, what does Mickey Mouse think of this? He's like, I don't know. He's a balloon. He's
like, what does the giant nutcracker in the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade think about all this? I don't think he's thinking anything.
He just keeps doing that.
I meant this nutcracker points to the real one sitting next to him on the couch. He goes, whoa, I didn't even notice that guy. I thought this segment was about me.
Well, why would you allow Mickey Mouse to do an interview like this? He just comes off as some weird silent mascot.
Yeah.
He avoids that. When he's in the parks, when he's in a parade, you're not saying, why isn't he talking? He's doing all this action and the show around him is influencing it. When he's meeting you, it's cool. You can talk to him. You make it your experience. But very rarely are you like, hey, this guy doesn't talk. Isn't that weird?
Yeah. When she asked that question, that was the first time I've ever heard Mickey greeted with silence. You know, there's never a scenario where there's like a dull moment when Mickey's around. When you throw it over to Mickey, nothing happens.
Absent of his magic. And he sits there in silence, in horror at the idea of having to do an interview in a silent studio. No bopping music. It's silence.
Yeah.
Dead silence. Maybe a hum from a camera.
Like, nowhere else is it possible for Mickey to get the opportunity to come off as, I'm giving you the silent treatment.
Good luck finding anywhere in all of Walt Disney World where you have silence. Have you ever been...
The dead silence of a local public access or just news station.
So, Mickey, you know, you're not known as a talker. Yes, you are. Everybody knows what Mickey sounds like. He has the most recognizable voice in the history of cartoons.
Yeah, I've never... And again, yeah, I can tell that someone like said something to her before that made her say that.
Yeah.
Because I don't know Mickey as a silent type of guy.
What does Mickey think about this balloon? He can't talk. Can you ask Mickey why he won't talk?
Is Mickey mad at me or something? I mean, is he going to walk off?
Mickey, why are you so mad at me?
His hands raised. He goes, he's extreme pantomiming. I hear a story that Michael Eisner ever told was the story of one time he was in the back of a limo with Mickey Mouse, like going to some premiere or something. And, you know, I could just, he's just in there in his tuxedo, perfect Michael Eisner, ready to go. And he was talking to Mickey, who is just in character completely. And he's trying to get Mickey to break as the CEO of the Walt Disney Company. He's going, listen, I'm in charge. Are you a man or a woman or who's in there? Can you hear me? Talk to me. Like he's saying this. And I'm imagining a completely terrified.
Is that true?
Yes. I'm imagining a complete, he told the story. Like a completely terrified 23-year-old is in this costume going like, is this a test? Is he going to fire me if I break it? Their traditions is running through their head. Now, it's very important that you never, under any circumstances, no matter who asks, talk while you're in this costume. I'm being berated by Michael Eisner. Hello, who is in there, please? You a man or a woman? I don't know if he said I'm your boss, but that's definitely the subtext.
Where's Bob Carlton and Mickey Mouse's buddy cop movie? I'll have your badge, Mickey Mouse. What is Mickey saying? Bob, tell me what Mickey's thinking about me taking his badge. Bob's working with Shrek now, and they want to do a giant Shrek in the Macy's Day Parade.
Well, I would imagine that's probably actually a good little hack. If you want to live kind of a charmed life where you're always interacting with celebrities, just become one of the best balloon operators or one of the few balloon operators.
Just become the best anything. If you want to have a lot of celebrity friends and you don't want to be anywhere connected to the entertainment industry, become super good at something really random.
Yeah, just like the most obscure thing. You won't have as much competition.
But it needs to be interesting random. It can't be like Guinness Book of World Records random.
Yeah.
I'm the best balloon pilot ever. When Gwyneth Paltrow needs to go on a balloon, I'm the one they call.
I'm the best backyard pool designer. And it's like, oh, you're going to get some good people for
that. I was doing Donald Glover's pool because he found out I was the best.
I had to have my balloon flown by Bob Carlton.
When I knew I was going to fly a balloon, I knew it had to be Bob Carlton because my friends, Missy Elliott, told me that Bob had a great, Bob and Missy go way back. And so does Bob and Mickey Mouse as well as Mickey Mouse. Bob knows Mickey Mouse and Missy Elliott, so yeah. No, I had to hire him. On September 18th, 2008, balloonist Bob Carlton crash-landed in Sarasota from a field behind Hillsborough Community College's Plant City campus near I-4.
Is he okay?
After about an hour in the air, Carlton was looking for a place to land. He spotted a large undeveloped track south of I-4 and headed down. We came in and landed safely in the corner of the lot between some trees. Might have looked to some folks nearby that we had landed in the trees, but we were fine. The news is like, oh my gosh, we got this crazy story. Bob, what happens?
It's the worst. That's his actual personality. The worst guy to interview on the news. Okay. Bob Carlton was in a 30-car pileup. Bob, what did you think? It wasn't that big a deal.
Bob, even 20 years later... You know, they're like, Bob, everybody's saying you crashed in that field. Was that crazy? No.
The driest interview you ever.
What was it like? Were you scared? Not really. Is your balloon, like, what happened? Nothing different. It's just how balloons land. Did you hit a tree? No, it just looked like we hit a tree. We didn't. Bob, damn you.
Ruining the story.
Okay, I'm learning more about Bob Carlton. From 1978 to 1980, Bob flew the Budweiser, Black Angus, and Westinghouse balloons for World Balloon Corps.
He's like Forrest Gump. He's tied into so many just significant... Everyone has interacted with him.
He's on the news with the Budweiser horse. Bob, what does the horse think of all this? He's like, I don't know. Just a horse. Bob, come on, give me something, buddy. There's a horse.
They just keep making him the handler for all these non-speaking characters. They think, oh, he's got it. Yeah. He does not have it.
What does the Budweiser horse think of this? He's like, I don't think he thinks about this.
You probably don't have a big personality if you're a hot air balloon captain.
Now, Bob, you flew this balloon. It looked like a giant Black Angus steak. Was that do anything for you, Bob? Nope. It was just like...
It meant nothing to me.
Am I sensing hostility, Bob? Nope. Complete indifference. He also guided balloons for 12 years for Walt Disney World, flying the Mickey Mouse, Donald Duck, Cinderella's Castle, and Spaceship Earth balloons.
Oh, wow. Great.
Yeah, he actually... Oh, yeah.
I guess it makes sense.
Hey, if you got a balloon to fly and you're in Florida...
He's our man.
You get Bob Carlton. This is the quote they have in this magazine they wrote about him. We like to launch early enough to watch right at sunrise. It's the coolest, calmest, and most peaceful time of the day.
Nice.
That's nice, Bob. I've been blessed. I've been fortunate to be able to travel. Disney put me in places that I could not fly on my own. Wow. Oh,
nice. He went over Niagara Falls. I mean, he did
a
lot.
The sunsets are beautiful. The rock formations are just stunning. He says, this interview's great, Bob.
It's so beautiful. It's like Walt Disney talking about that story about him in the caves. He's like, it's incredible what God has created for us. And you're like, oh my God, he's so earnest. I agree. That's very nice.
But you put him next to Mickey Mouse with a Budweiser horse or a giant steak and he freezes. Come on, Bob. You got this, man. Bob, what do you love about ballooning? I mean, just the way the sun glistens over the rocks in the distance. It makes me realize we're all part of one beautiful world. You put him next to Mickey Mouse. Bob, is this balloon special in any way? No. No, it's not. It's just a balloon.
Meanwhile, the most poetic thing right. I've ever heard the second you get him backstage.
Bob, what do you like about ballooning? A single tear rolls down his eye. Every day. I like to rise with the sun.
Hello, hello, horse. What do you think?
You didn't see the horse there.
Oh, my God. Has that horse been there?
He's still ballooning today?
So I interviewed him.
So I got on this hot air balloon.